together for our good. Even when we don't understand or act like we should, troubles and trials come along every day. And all things considered, friends, I'd have to say that life is great, you're getting better. Every day His grace shines through the stormy weather. Got my family and friends, and when you put it all together, life is great and getting better. Shines through the stormy weather. Got my family and friends, and when you put it all together, life is great. Life is great and getting better. Every day His grace shines through the stormy weather. Got my family and friends, and when you put it all together, life is great. Getting better.
Getting better. Good morning, Jay. How you doing,
good morning,
brother?
John, I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Now listen to this.
And getting better.
It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better. No, I wish it was, Ari, but no doubt. Good morning and welcome to the Pulse WV Live. John Fowler along with Pastor Jay Mace. And good morning, Jay. Glad you're doing well today.
You
looking,
John.
You're looking good. I like that purple top you got on.
I like it. I like it.
That's not purple.
Though, I thought it was blue.
It is blue.
Is it blue?
Yeah, you should
kind
have seen.
Kind of an aqua?
You should have seen me yesterday. I kind of looked orange here some reason. I don't know what was going on. But
was it your hair?
It could have been.
Could
I think
been?
It was. Yeah. Right. Danielle was asking me about it. She said, what was wrong with the screen yesterday? And I said, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, technology, you got to love it, you know, for sure. But God's faithful, and God helps us, and I don't look that way today. And you don't look that way today. So I think we're good. I think we're in good shape. Well, good morning. Welcome to the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. We're broadcasting live this morning on Facebook as well as YouTube.
Nice.
And not only that, but we're on Apple Podcast as well as Spotify. I like saying that name, Spotify.
Spotify.
Yeah, like and Google Play. And
I like Spotify when I'm cutting grass.
Do you?
Yeah.
What do you listen to?
Oh, I listen to everything.
Hmm. There was one of our
sometimes
neighbors.
Sometimes Skillet, sometimes some 80s rock, sometimes country.
Skillet. I just never could get like when I remember one time we were at Winter Jam and Skillet got on stage, and it's like you see all these kids just ramping and just, I mean, just going crazy. And I see Jamie Wright out in the thing down there with me. He said, I just can't take it. He said, I just can't take it.
Well, you know, not to segue too far, but I was kind of the same way. We went to a Toby Mac concert when the boys were younger, and Skillet opened for Toby Mac, and they wanted to see Toby Mac, and I'm kind of thinking, oh, Skillet, you know, and you know, I listened to that style of music my whole life, growing up in school and whatnot, you know, and so I think it was more of a thing that the style just had bad memories to me or whatever.
Right.
So I was kind of like, ugh, Skillet. And making a really long story short, we got caught in traffic and all these different things. And I was like, yes, that way we can just go in, watch Toby Mac and be cool. Well, no, we got there just as Skillet was like 5 minutes away from taking the stage. And they ministered to me, John.
Did they really?
In a huge way. And, I mean, really grabbed hold of me.
Wow.
And so I looked into them. Like John Cooper, their lead singer, does a podcast now. And, I mean, really sound in their belief and really sound in what they're doing for Jesus. And the testimonies they have about the number of people that they have reached for Jesus is incredible. So I'm a fan. A fan.
That's awesome. And, you know, and the thing about it is I looked over at Lindsay. She just had her hands raised and, you know, and it's like, I didn't even know what they were saying. I couldn't understand what they were saying. But, you know, that's all right. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, God uses a lot of different things. And so that's an exciting thing. Just like God's using this morning podcast and this morning broadcast to help people. You know, one of the things that, you know, really that I think about a lot is I think, okay, we want people and God wants people to be blessed, to know the word, to also be able to have a prayer life. And so when you think about that, this helps them in both areas. We pray at 8 o'clock every evening. We have a morning Bible study. So we're trying to cover two things to be able to help people because you want people to get better. Because one of the things we were talking about off air, that one of the concerns that I have is like, number one, do people read this? And then the second thing is, do they believe it? Mm. You know, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned about that. And, but I take it, you know, I don't look for the little loopholes. I take it literally.
Yeah.
You know, if Jonah was in the well.
He was in the well.
Yeah. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace and there was a fourth man walking, it likened unto the Son of Man in the Old Testament before Jesus was even.
Yeah. I believe it.
Come on, brother, preach. That's good stuff. Well, let's pray this morning. Jesus, we love you today, and we praise you today. And we thank you, God, for who you are. Father, we pray that you bless Pastor Jay and myself this morning as we do your will today. And, Father, we thank you for it and praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what's going on with you?
Well, this past week, we just finished our fourth part of our Still Small Voice sermon series, and really different approach this week than in the weeks prior to that, in that we, you know, we talked about love.
Wow.
And, you know, if we want to hear God's voice and we want to respond to God's voice, then, you know, like in week one, we certainly have to be still and know that he's God.
Amen.
You know, week two, you know, we have to consecrate our Christianity or consummate our Christianity with the Holy Spirit. You know, God's not going to move upon us and speak to us and direct us in the flesh. He's going to do it in the Spirit.
Amen.
So we have to be in tune to spiritual things, not carnal things. And then moving us into the direction of, you know, actually hearing from God and standing on his promises in week three, that, you know, we're given all of this word to learn and study and to make a part of our life. And while we can tell the story 1,000 times of these that you just talked about, we can tell those stories again and again and again and know them like the back of our hand.
Right.
But are we living that kind of life, which is exactly what you said?
It's amazing.
And,
yeah.
You know, if we're going to hear from God, then we've got to be willing to live the kind of life that godly people live.
Amen.
And we see these miracles and we see these huge moves of God, not because of the person, but because of God's interest in the person and what that person's doing. So we've got to stand on the promises.
Absolutely.
If we're going to hear from God.
Isn't that amazing? Then, we're in the same page and we're not even in the same building.
Right.
You know? Go ahead.
And then this past week was week four. Everything we say about God, we can say about God's love.
Yeah.
God is love.
Amen.
Everything about him, everything about our Christianity, everything about our salvation, all stems from love. And in Philippians chapter 2, it says this. I didn't bring my glasses this morning, so everybody bear with me. I might need yours, yeah. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any conflict of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction, mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one of mind. Okay? So in Philippi, the church in Philippi, or Philippi, however you want to say it, and I don't think it's Philippi, but some people say Philippi, and I think it's kind of weird. But
yeah, because up the road is Philippi.
Right, yeah. Right. So anyway, at that church, that was a very diverse church. If you go back to the book of Acts and you read about how that church started and really came about, three of the patriarchs of that church was, a Jewish lady who was converted, who was rich, came from, you know, came from a very secure place. The other was a beggar woman of sorts. And, you know, and then the third was a Roman soldier who was converted. And that was really kind of the foundation of the church at Philippi. And it couldn't be any more estranged than that. And so, you know, what do? They go to their friends. They bring their friends in. Their friends all come in with different backgrounds, different cultures. And they have to work through those things to Christ.
That's good.
And what happens is when we come, you know, it's like our church. We've got probably, I don't know, I would say at least six or seven different types of background in our church, everywhere from Pentecostal to Baptist and everything else. But the call for us isn't to allow one of those to dominate. The call for us is to let Christ dominate. And that's what Paul addresses here in this book, is he says that if there's any conflict among us, then we have to move past that and walk into a comfort that comes from the love of God.
Absolutely.
We're saved because God loved us, right?
Absolutely.
And Christ was sent, Christ came because he loved God.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
And so if we are going to hear the voice of God, we have to recognize and walk in the same love that God has for us, and the same love that Christ has for God. Christ wasn't obedient to God because God was some kind of a slave master.
Right.
Christ was obedient to God to come and die for our sins because he loved God and he trusted God and he walked with God. So
that's good.
We're called to two things in that thinking. Is we're called to love for man. You know, God loved us,
right.
So he sent his son. So we're called to a love for man, and we're called to a love of God, just as Christ loved.
Those that are joining us, Pastor Jay is in Philippians chapter 2.
Yes.
At verse, did you say verse what?
Starting at verse 1.
Starting at verse 1. And wow, what an awesome. Oh, you're exactly right. You know, when you said something just a moment ago about the fact of, I thought of the woman at the well for some reason. And it's like, if we are going to bring people in to the kingdom of God and be like-minded, like the scripture is saying, what is amazing to me is that how God changed her reputation so fast. Now think of this. I mean, she'd already been married. Yeah. What was it? Four times. She was living with the guy.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot of alimony. Right. And so when you think about that, and then, you know, Jesus loved her. And he went to, and she went back into the town and told people about Jesus, and they came to Jesus.
Right.
And what's amazing to me is that with a horrible reputation like she had, God
still
used it. So
much that she went to the well at noon to avoid everyone else in the heat of the day,
yeah,
which was unheard of,
yeah,
because of the shame and the reproach that came with her reputation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I hope that ties in. I think it does.
Well, it does, because I think one of the biggest problems we have is we don't love our fellow man like God loves us. And
yeah, that's, we tolerate.
We tolerate, or, you know, we put on the face, "Hi, how are you? Love you. Appreciate you.
Roll your eyes as you
know,
turn around.
And everything else. And while we're making eyes at someone across the room, like, oh, this person.
Yeah.
You know, that's not godly.
No, it's not.
That's not godly. There's no comfort.
But it's churchly.
And it is churchly. Ooh, yeah. Good word. But that's not godly at all. And what Paul's telling us here in Philippians, that if there's going to be any comfort of love, if there's going to be any rejoicing, if there's only going to be any joy in our cup, we have to love in the same manner that God loves us. We've got to love man in the same way. And then in order for that to take place, we've got to love God as Christ does. We love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
Right? And I think we lose track of that. And if we're not careful in church today, we will approach church, we'll approach evangelism, we'll approach worship, we'll approach preaching, we'll approach basically every arm of our walk with this idea of everyone needs to be like me. Everyone needs to think like me. Everyone needs to read the same Bible I read. And everyone needs to do all of these. And while there's pros and cons to all of those arguments, and I'm not taking any of those thoughts away from anyone, you know, while there's pluses and minuses in each of those things, we need to understand that it's when we line that up with God's love for man, and we walk in God's love for man, there are things that we really make big deals out of, and we segregate even within the church,
right?
Our body with that God just doesn't see, and God just doesn't think that way, and God just doesn't work that way. And what really brought this message to me was, you know, I was studying, I was putting the sermon series together, and I was scrolling through Facebook, and I saw a friend, someone, you know, far older than me, who's taught for years and everything else in Sunday school, and he put a post up, and in his post, he made the comment, "We should just blow their heads off," talking about all the craziness in the world.
Right.
And I'm like, no, right. No, we can't operate that way. We can have our political opinions. We can believe the way that we believe and everything else like that. But if we're operating in a manner,
right,
that says, oh, you know, if you're not going to believe the way I believe, if you're not going to line up where I am, instead of us trying to find common ground in Jesus, we'll just blow your head off. If anything, you're a Pharisee more than you are a Christian.
Right.
You know, because that's exactly why they put Jesus on the cross, is because he didn't line up to their teaching and their way of thinking and what they thought someone should look like and act like in the temple.
You know, it seems like that what I'm learning about what you're talking about here is there are two things that I see that we're supposed to love, and love leads to forgiveness.
Yes.
It does. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14 and verse 15, it says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you."
Yes.
You know, I preached on Sunday. You know, there are prerequisites to the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And I preached on that Sunday. There's prerequisites to the blessings. And, you know, he gives you, you look through the Bible, and there seems like there's always a verb at the beginning of it. Trust in me.
Mm-hmm.
Be not afraid. And I think, I mean, it's just awesome how God can show that. But then verse 15 says this. It says, "But if ye forgive not men then of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses."
Right.
Well, what's that say? I mean, do you take that literal?
Yeah.
Well, I hate that person. Christians are known by their love. You can't.
Mm-hmm. One of the greatest things for me in ministry, and you know how it is when you're young in the ministry, you know, you're full of Jesus, you're full of fire, and you're preaching the gospel and you're doing all the right things, but you really don't see people
for who they are.
For who they are.
Right.
at that time.
Right.
And one thing I've learned over the years is that as I begin to love more like God loves,
right,
and I begin to, you know, forget the details and the ins and outs of people's lives, and I just start looking at the person. You know, when we're talking about this still small voice, well, and you're talking about the blessings, you yeah. know, and the gifts, and you know, one I don't know if it's so much a gift as it is a curse. No, I'm just kidding, God. But you know, one thing that I've always been able to do is to discern.
Right.
And to hear people's thoughts and places and to kind of see them behind their mask.
Right.
And as I grow to begin to navigate that with each person based upon where they are rather than where I am. And, you know, I think that's ultimately what Paul means when he says to be all things to all people. That's a man who begins to see the love of God towards humanity,
right,
and begins to navigate and operate in that manner of love. You know, I can have conversations with you that I can't have with someone who maybe is addicted or going through issues or dealing with depression or different things like that. You and I can talk on a harder level, yes, if you will, than someone's who's in that shape. And so how do we deal with that? Do I talk to that person the same way I talk to you? Did Jesus talk to the woman at the well that you brought up? Did he talk to her the same way that he talked to the disciples? No, he told the disciples, how long must I suffer you?
Right.
You know, I'm giving you this. I'm pouring myself out to you every day, and you're going to build my church. You need to step up and get with the program. He turns around, and he turns around and talks to the woman at the well and says to her, give me a drink.
Yeah.
Give me a drink.
Right.
Which blows her mind, right, because she's like, who are you to ask me?
Right.
You know, a Samaritan, who are you, you know, to ask a dog to give you something to drink? What was he doing? He was navigating where she was in life.
Yeah.
And he was talking to her in love.
Mm-hmm.
He was approaching her in love, and he was opening a door wide that she had an opportunity to walk through. And
good.
The problem for us is we ain't opening that door, man.
Right.
We're not opening that door like we need to be opening that door, because we expect everything to be the way we think about it. We want everyone to respond the way we respond. We want everyone to sing the way we sing, everyone to worship the way we worship, everyone to read the same version of the Bible we read, and all of this. And all, that's all religion.
Yes.
Right? Now, yeah. And again, like I said in the beginning, there are elements of that.
Sure.
That have good points, good arguments, and everything else. But I think, you know, I think unfortunately we've created division with it rather than we've lovingly approached people and discipled people and encouraged people with it.
Yeah, that's a big challenge that I think pastors have from the pulpit, because you have a whole bunch of people out there that are at different levels, and you're trying to reach them, and God's, but what I learned years ago was, it's not my job to reach them. God does that. You know, he just wants us to catch the fish, and he'll clean them.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you think about that, and then back to the woman.
Can I jump on that?
Absolutely. 'Cause
that's a really good point. I think what happens in the pulpit is only a byproduct of the relationships that we're creating within the congregation. Because if I'm creating a relationship that opens the door to this person, I'm tearing things up.
It's okay.
I talk with my hands. Can't help it. It's an Italian thing. You just got to deal with it.
You're Italian. I love the cooking.
But yeah, me too. Can't you tell? If I'm building the right relationships, the right loving relationships out of the pulpit,
right,
with people,
yeah,
right, and like I said, one might be handled very differently than the other, like the woman at the well versus the disciples, and as an example.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm building those relationships in love, and people understand that what comes from me in the pulpit,
right,
number one, is anointed. God,
right,
please let it be anointed. Don't ever let it be me. Right?
Amen.
And number two, if it's coming in that same manner of love that I deal with each person as they are, then I think God can orchestrate what comes from us in the pulpit into the hearts and minds of the congregation. Now, if I'm, you know, some bigger than life person that builds no relationships, and then I just show up in the pulpit on Sunday morning and just beat people over the head, and they have no concept of how much I love them.
Right.
And how much I care about them.
Right.
And how much I want to move them closer to Christ, then I think that can become toxic very quickly.
And I think, Jay, that when you say that, I think that, and I'm just talking about me, I think that I've been that way sometimes. Because,
I think we all have.
Because, you know, it's like this. You say, okay, good morning, everybody. We want you to know that we have a Christian school. We want you to know we have a daycare, and we're on podcast, and we do a morning show, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for coming. Appreciate you being here. We're bigger than life, and it's all about us. And I hope you have a good day.
Mm.
And, you know, when you think about that, you know, and I come from a business background. You're in the business, you know, and I love business.
Sure.
I do.
I love
job. It.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you think about, you think about what Jesus did with the woman at the well is he had a glass of water with her.
Yeah.
Basically what he did. And so
something that no one else did.
Did. And so how much can we learn from each other by sitting across the table with a cup of coffee or breakfast?
Yes.
And pastors are, and I say pastors have been so busy doing the stuff that we forget about the people that, I mean, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm working on doing different because, you know, what I'm doing the show, you know, the morning show. And then, you know, we added a Wednesday night church service tonight, you know, because I just don't feel like people are getting enough of the word. They're not doing it on their own. So we have to help them through that process.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. Good morning, everybody. We appreciate Emmett Wayne watching from Braxton County. Danielle's watching this morning. Good morning to you, Regina. From up in Beckley in that area is watching.
Annie's watching. Hi, Annie.
I made a couple
jokes at Annie on Sunday.
And she still
I felt bad about it. So just want you to know I love you, Annie.
I wonder why she called me and said she was coming to Gasaway.
Oh man. Dang it. No, I've known Annie for a long time. She and Sam worked together years ago.
She's a great heart.
She has hard working servant heart. We love her to death. Anna's there. Hi, Anna.
Yeah, Kathy's watching. My sister, J.D. Weitzel, up in Braxton County, him and Dawn.
Emily's watching, or she was. I hope she still is. Hi, Emily. I call Emily Harry Pickle. Not gonna tell anybody why.
Right.
But since she's watching, I just want the world to know.
That's awesome.
Emily's real name is Harry Pickle.
Harry Pickle.
Yeah.
Nellie and my dad are watching out in Jackson County. Helen Hackers, did I say that right? Good morning, Helen. Hope you're doing well today. Thank you for joining the Pulse WV live morning edition. We have Pastor Jay Mace from our Winfield campus, as well as myself from the Gasaway campus. And we do this every Wednesday. Jay's recapping what he's preaching on Sunday morning. So if you want to learn more about what he's preaching on Sunday morning, you can go over to YouTube. And that's the Pulse.
The Pulse Winfield Live.
Winfield Live.
On YouTube.
Hit
the subscribe button and you'll get notified each week.
Absolutely. And we encourage you to do that on both because we really would like to see more people, you know, come to our YouTube page. And now we're broadcasting. We're simulcasting with Facebook as well as YouTube for the morning show and everything. So we're just, God's just really helping us. What else do you have as in a way of your sermon? And the title, the message of it is?
It's the still small voice. It's the still small voice and how we need to hear from God now more than ever.
Yes.
And I mean, if you look at the condition of our world, the condition of man's heart, or hearts, we need to hear from God more than ever. And so really what it is it's a look at how do we better hear from God. And this past week we talked about that if we want to really hear from God, then we have to be willing to love like God loves. We have to be willing to love our fellow man the way that God loves. And that doesn't mean tolerate them. That doesn't mean, you know, just stomach the person, but love them and understand that people are going to be different. Our cultures and backgrounds are going to be different. Our raisings, you know, are going to be different. But we have to, if we have to navigate those things, and one of the things that we were talking about just before we broke was discernment. And if I want God to speak to me, again, still small voice, right. If I want God to speak to me about John Fowler, well, God's not going to speak to me about John Fowler unless I start loving John Fowler like God loves John Fowler.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
I've got to choose to love these people unconditionally. And just like the woman at the well that you brought up, you know, Christ chose to love her.
Yes.
Without conditions. Right?
Unconditionally.
And
yeah.
Why? Why? Because he aligned himself with God's love for her.
Yeah.
And so he was able to go to her, dealt with her on a level much different than the level that he dealt with on the disciples and everything. And we see the mannerism of man, because the disciples came walking back and saw him talking to her. I was like, what's he talking to her for? You know?
Yeah.
And so forth. But he did it in a very different way. And like you exampled just before we broke, you know, he had a glass of water with her.
Yeah.
You know, much like me, I'd have a cup of coffee with her. But
right.
he had a glass of water with her.
Right.
I know someone out there's thinking there's no coffee wells, Jay.
Well, but they had a chat, and that's what. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. It's like if Jesus was in the world today, would he drink? What was it? Was it you the other day that were talking about like putting the different things in coffee?
Yes.
And how that offends you?
Yeah, it doesn't offend me. I understand.
I'm just saying.
You can drink whatever you want to drink, but being a coffee snob, it just hurts my heart when people puts all this stuff in their coffee anyway.
Can you imagine Jesus saying, going to Starbucks with you and having breakfast with you and say, I would like to have a latte and whatever that is.
I'd probably just stand there with my mouth dropped. I'd be like, Jesus, come on. Yeah, of all people.
Of all people.
That's but
black
but,
and strong, Jesus. That's how I drink it.
But I think we need to love better, and I think that's really the point. Is we need to love better, and we're not going to hear from God. God's not going to help us minister to people. And you brought up a great point about the pulpit, and you know sometimes in the pulpit it comes across very strong, and it comes across you know very pointed, and I think where most pastors and ministry people fail is they get in the pulpit, they throw their punches, and they walk away, and they have zero relationship with the people in the congregation. And I think Christ example something very different than that. Christ led from among the people. He was not on a big stage. He was not exalted above the people that he was leading or teaching. He walked among them. He had the same sandy feet that they did, and you know he dealt with the same issues and circumstances that they did. He walked with them,
right,
not above them, and he loved them. And because of his love and the way he handled them based on where they were, he didn't expect people to just, oh, I'm in Jesus' presence, so I have to act like this, I have to look like this, I have to be this. Now, and sadly, that's how we do church.
Yes.
I'm at church, so I need to dress this way. I need to look this way. I need to talk this way. I need to act this way and everything else because I'm in church now.
Right.
You know, I had someone tell me Saturday, you know, if your church was, you know, closer to me, I would already be attending there because I know you're not going to look down your nose at me and tell me not to come back if I have shorts on. And everything else, and you know, I grew in a culture that was that way,
right.
and nothing against that culture. There's a lot of teaching and a lot of traditions that were very important to me, and are still important to me from that part of my life.
Right.
But what I realized is Jesus just doesn't really care if we've got a pair of shorts on. Jesus didn't really care about the reputation of that woman at the well. What he cared about was reaching her where she was, right, and loving her just like he loved God and God loved him so that he could bring her into relationship with himself and ultimately in relationship to God. And that's, I think that's where we really fell in our hearing from God, is because we want it to be on our terms. We want it to be our way. And we just don't love like Jesus loved. How many of us today would go sit down at the well in the heat of the day and have a conversation with that woman?
Have you seen the Chosen version of that?
I'm the one that told you to watch that.
Right.
That's amazing.
Yes, and I'll watch that, and you're just like boo-hooing, you know, through the whole process that somebody got delivered from. I mean, can you imagine the names of what she was called and the reputation? Mm-hmm. Here's what gets me, and I go back to this. It's in John chapter 4, by the way, if everybody wants to read the story about the woman at the well. When you think about the reputation that she has, that she had, but yet God changed her and God used her.
Immediately.
And she went and told these people, and they came back to Jesus. That marvels at me, because, and that should tell everybody that's watching, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, when you ask Jesus to forgive you, and he comes into your life, he wipes your slate clean. Now, that doesn't mean that the people in your community are going to believe you necessarily, or are going to think because you've been that way. But look at Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I think Paul's thorn in the flesh?
He calls himself the chief of sinners.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what I think? This is just my personal opinion. You know what I think Paul's thorn in the flesh was? A lot of people say it was his eyes, or it wasn't his mother-in-law. you know. But you know what I wonder if Paul's thorn in the flesh was? When he would walk down the street and he would see a mother with two children and the husband was missing because he killed them. Because that's what he did. I wonder if that's what his thorn was. I don't know.
It's a good thought.
But just as you think through this process, and as we talk to the people this morning, that no matter what you've done, God forgives you, just like the woman at the well. He forgave her, and then he used her immediately, just like you said.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's fearful for us, and I kind of use this as an illustration. If let's all assume, right? We all want to sit and eat with Jesus, right?
Right.
I mean, ultimately, we're preparing for that, right?
And he bought every time.
Gonna be a big feast in heaven one day.
Amen.
And I don't have to count the carbs. I don't have to worry about that. But.
Like, have you seen Jay? Well, for the first 1,000 years he was around that table, we haven't seen him.
Oh, heck
since.
Yeah, man. Mom's making me like 7 deep dish macaroni and cheeses.
There
all
you,
mine.
All yours.
All mine. There That's why go. She's in heaven. She's getting it ready.
Getting it ready.
And everything else. I'm convinced of it. And Sam and I have almost perfected it
right
to her level, but not quite.
And so, nobody cooks like Mama, man.
Amen.
I'm telling you.
Amen. But anyway, we all want to sit and eat with Jesus, right?
Right.
We all want to at least eat the crumbs from the master's table.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. There was a perfect illustration in Scripture of this when Jesus was eating with Simon. And the woman came in to wash his feet.
Yes.
And she took all that she had. She took the ointments that were given to her as a promise. And she took all of that and washed his feet, dried them with her hair, and anointed him. And Simon sat at the table and reasoned in his heart, if he knew who she was, if he knew what she was. And what he didn't realize is God was already speaking to Jesus. Jesus knew every detail. Why? Because he had shut up, right? He had been still. See, I had to work the shut up in there one way or another, right? he had already shut up and started listening to God.
Wow.
And God revealed her and her heart and her mission and purpose. He revealed all of that to Jesus in that moment.
That is so good.
And Jesus chastised Simon.
Yes.
Because of his heart. And that's a perfect example of how we try to navigate our Christianity, is we try to navigate it from a sense of power and a sense of belonging and a sense of worth rather than a place of love. And we don't love like God loves our fellow man. We don't love our fellow man like God loves man. And we don't love God on the same level that Jesus did. I mean, think about that. Jesus chose to leave heaven, everything that he had.
Yes.
All of the
splendors of
the
heaven.
The splendors, yes. He left all of that because God asked him to.
Right.
And he loved God enough to say, I'll go.
I'm just sitting here reading through Luke chapter 7, where this is about where she washed his feet, and you just the intimacy of this is unreal.
It's beautiful.
And I mean, when you think about the ointment and her sins, it says here in verse 47 of Luke chapter 7, it says, her sins, which are many.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said this word. I mean, so Jesus, like you say,
He knew.
And forgiven, for she loved much.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to what you're teaching.
Yep.
But to whom little is forgiven, and the same loveth little.
Yeah.
Wow.
And sadly, we don't love like that.
No.
And I mean,
we judge like that.
We do.
Yeah, but
and
we
even
don't love
even
like
from
that.
The pulpit, we don't love like that. And that's why I said before, I think it's important that we lead from among the people and we love the people. And I think when we love the people on the level that we can bring the meat to them in a bold way.
Right.
And I believe, you know, that comes from anointing, and we can do that. But if all we're doing is getting in the pulpit, it doesn't mean that necessarily we're not anointed. But if we're not taking the time to love before and after,
right,
then we're never really going to appeal to the hearts in the way Jesus did. But I want to move
good.
Off that for a minute,
yep,
and focus on this idea of Jesus's love for God, right? Because yeah. we can do all of the things that God anoints us and blesses us with. But if we don't have love,
right.
The scripture says it's fruitless, it's worthless, it's not worth anything. Right? We can quote 1,000 scriptures, but if right. we're not filled with love,
right,
you know, love for God, then
yes.
then we can't accomplish anything in his name. So if we're going to hear the still small voice, we have to be willing to love our fellow man like God does. And we also have to be willing to love God like Jesus did.
That's really good. I mean, you stop and think, what's the first fruit of the Spirit?
Love.
Love.
Yeah.
What's the next one? Peace.
Yeah.
Next one after that, joy.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing how all three of those tie in together?
Yeah. Well, and
but if you don't have the first one,
you don't get the next. And yeah. and that's ultimately what Paul tells us here is to be comforted in love. We have to be unified in the things of God, not in the things of this world, right?
Right.
You know, going back to the church at Philippi, the Jewish woman could have said, we're going to do it this way. You know, the bigger woman could have said, no, we're going to do it this way for the oppressed. And you know, the Roman guard was like, no, we're going to, you know, Italia, we're going to do it Italia way.
Sure.
And you know, they all could have come in and pounded their fists and never found God.
Right.
Never found God, never found intimacy with him, never allowed his love, which all of this spurs from. Is from God's love. Never allowed any of that to happen. The problem with that mannerism is we don't love. We don't love each other the way God loves us.
Right.
And we don't love God the way Jesus loved God. When we love God the way Jesus loved God, the devotion and the relationship and the idea of praying in the garden to where your sweat becomes blood because you're afraid you're going to be removed from his presence. I don't know anyone praying drops of blood because they love God that much.
Right.
Right?
That they do.
But Jesus did. And if we're going to hear from God in the little things and the big things,
right,
loving man and God the way we're exampled in Scripture is vital. Because otherwise God's going to be like, Jay can't handle that.
Right.
Jay doesn't have a heart of love for me. So he can't handle this. I'm not going to give it to him.
Right.
You know, Jay doesn't love man like I love man. So Jay can't handle this. So I'm not going to give it to him and everything else. So God's choosing the blessings and the ministry and everything that he gives us based upon our level of love.
Right.
Towards man and him.
So, you know, we can't put God in the box.
No.
And we can't make a model of what God looks like. But the people that are watching today, Jay, what would you say that the definition of, okay, like you could say that person right there, you could say they love God and I know it. What are the characteristics of someone who loves God? How do they act? What do they do? I know you love Sam and I love Christy. Okay, and because you spend time with what you love. But how do you know that person loves God? And then what is that definition? What do they do different that you know they love God? Did I ask that right?
You did.
It's like, okay.
I'm just weighing right. Whether to say what came to my mind or not. Because
oh, go ahead. What's ever stopped you before?
Well, no, because I don't want it to seem self-serving.
I understand.
One of the greatest compliments I've ever been given my entire life
right.
is my son was hurt by someone that he would have went to battle for without thought.
Right.
And this person lied to him, then lied about him. And everything else. And this is an adult person treating, I don't know what he was, about 15 at the time. And everything else. And he was crushed and he was wounded. And you know, we all deal with that,
sure.
Right? It's life. It's part of how we grow and what we learn. And so I speak none of this with animosity, but just to kind of paint the picture, he was deeply wounded and hurt. And so we were talking through this, and I'm someone that I love having mentors besides myself in my kid's life because I think it's important. I think the village matters. I really
yes.
do. And you know, but this was a tough moment. This was a tough time, and so we're talking through it. And he's kind of dishing it all out. He's just getting it out. And he's laying it all down. And he's crying and he looks up at me and everything else and he says, it makes me realize how important it is that you're the same person no matter where you are.
Wow.
He said, whether you're at church, whether you're at a ball game, whether you're, you know, here at the house, whether you're in the grocery store, you don't have all of these different faces that you put on. You're the same person,
right,
wherever you are. And I don't think there's very many like that. And here's what he said to me. And probably the more I think about it, I was probably about 14. And 14 years old, he looks at me and says, I think there's a lot of people who just become what they have to become to get what they want.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, he kind of nailed it.
Right.
Now, not with me, but with man in general, he kind of nailed it. And so we talked and we worked through that. So going back to your question, I think a person who loves man and loves God, I think is going to be consistent in who they are. I don't expect them to be perfect, right? Because we're all striving for perfection. We're all striving to be holy as he's holy.
Amen.
But I don't expect them to be perfect, but I expect them to be consistent
right.
in their love to people and in their love to God. If I see them on Facebook saying we need to blow someone's head off, I don't see a whole lot of love for man or a whole lot of love for God in
right.
that. I don't. It's not there. Doesn't mean that person's dying and going to hell, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it just means they're not hearing from God real well.
Right.
Because I don't think God would navigate that situation right. just like this. And I know there's probably people out there thinking, oh, wait a minute, Jay. I know you have guns, and I know, you know, you've said that you would protect your home and you would protect your family. Absolutely.
Sure.
But I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to blow someone's head off, and I'm certainly not going to post for the entire world to see and reveal a part of my heart that says, oh, you know, rather than try to find common ground and love this person like God loves this person, mm-hmm. I'd just blow their head off. I think we communicate our position with God on how we deal with people.
Right.
And I think that's something that we need. You know, we need to learn. We absolutely need our closet time. We absolutely need our time where we are, you know, understanding and hearing from God.
Right.
But if we're going to hear from him, we have to be willing to love like him. And I think one of the greatest characteristics for us is to be able to show that horizontally,
right.
not just vertically, right?
Right.
And because we love him because he first loves us.
Absolutely.
Right? And if we accept that, if we walk in that, if we believe that, then we've got to believe it for everybody else too.
So then the next question is this: what do you tell someone who struggles loving that person? You know, that maybe had a bad marriage or maybe had, you know, a breakup or a friend that betrayed. I mean, what do you tell somebody? And then you're saying you want me to be a part of your church when it was somebody that was within the church that hurt me, and you're telling me to love them? How do you handle that?
Well, I mean, you kind of hit it on the nail when you shared about, you know, forgiving, you know, one another. How is God going to forgive us if we don't forgive each other? And it goes back to that love of God. And I think that has a lot to do with our relationship from God. There may be an element of us in the flesh, and hopefully we're dying out to that more and more every day. But if we go through this life vengeful, if we go through this life with hatred, if we go through this life riotous, I mean, all of these things are scriptural. And if we have these things in our heart and have these things in our life, then we're lacking love of God, and we're lacking love of man. So what I would say to that person is, you know, hey, look, I'll handle this.
Right.
I need you to pray, and I need you to seek God, and I need you to understand why I'm handling this the way that I am, because I think this is how God would handle it.
Right.
In spiritual realm and not in a fleshly realm. Am I disgusted by what this person's done? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, do I approve of it? Absolutely not. But I'm going to love them like Jesus.
Right.
You know, I'm going to love them like God did, because if I don't, we'll never restore them. We'll never bring them back into his presence. And,
wow.
you know, and I think that's why if we're going to hear from God, we have to be willing to hear in love.
So what's the next good points? What's the next sermon that you're preaching? What are you taking it down this Sunday?
This week, we're going to talk about Satan.
Satan?
Yeah, because Satan likes to disguise himself as God.
That's true.
If we look in the garden, you know, he tried to interpret spiritual things to Eve in a manner and in a way that was contrary to God's intention. And so, you know, we have to hear the still small voice. We have to also recognize the enemy's voice, who, by the way, isn't usually that still and small.
Right.
It's usually pretty loud and ugly.
Yeah, the, you know, I heard a man of God one time say that God leads and the devil pushes.
Mm.
You know, and I never forgot that. It's like push, 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 and you always know. You know, when you think about, you know, politics or religion or whatever, you know, it just seems like Christy was talking about this on the show the other day. She said that when she was in college, she was working on, when Christy was in college, she was actually doing an interview with, I didn't get the camera switched in time. That's hysterical. I did. That's okay. I didn't get it switched in time. But what happened was she had interviewed a lady from the National Organization for Women. And then she interviewed a lady from Right to Life. And this was when Christy was first starting off in her relationship with Jesus. And she said that the woman from the National Organization for Women was so hateful and so mean. But the woman with the Right to Life was so loving and so compassionate towards the people that Christy said, that's how I believe.
Yeah.
And so we love people. We should love people into the kingdom.
Absolutely.
With no expectations or what can I get out of that person when they get there.
Right.
When they get it figured out.
I mean, if you look at Jesus, the only people he really lost his mind with were the religious people.
Yeah, Pharisees and Sadducees.
And it's because they were robbing people. He called them a den of thieves. Right. They were robbing people of what God intended.
Isn't that good?
You know, I don't think it really had anything to do with the money changing. I think we get lost in that and everything else. I think it had everything to do with the lack of spirituality in the place. Because he says, what have you done? You've turned a house of prayer, right? Mm-hmm. A house that manifests the power, the spirit, and the intentions that God has towards man. You've turned that into a den of thieves. What's that mean? It means you're robbing God.
Right.
And I think, unfortunately, we rob God. Yes. And we rob people of God a lot, simply because we're not loving them and we're not approaching them and dealing with them like Jesus would.
Anna says, 1 John 4:20, if anyone says they love God yet hate their brother, he is a liar.
Yes.
You know, that's good. Yep. That's a good word. So, man, awesome. I mean, what you have said today has convicted me on areas that I need to fix.
Oh, praise God.
You know, I need to fix a few things. And, you know, you got to think, church is all about, you know, Christianity is about people.
Yeah.
It's about that relationship, you know, with people. And, you know, one thing that, as I think through this process, what's going on, can you give anybody an update that you can publicly talk about with the school or with the Copper House? Are you staying there for a little while, or what's your thoughts?
We're still at the Copper Room.
Copper Room,
and probably will be for a little while.
Okay.
We're told that once school starts back, there's a good chance, nothing definite, but there's a good chance that we can resume Sundays back at the middle school in Winfield. But our weekly services, we won't be because of the daily sanitation things.
Okay.
Not sanitation, but daily sanitizing of things that they have to go through. I'm talking about garbage, what I'm supposed to be talking about, sanitizing.
That's funny.
But, so, I mean, there's, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel. You know, but we'll just have to see how that goes. I mean, the way I look at this, I mean, there's part of me that I wish everything was back to the way it was in March. I mean, we were really growing. We were really booming. We were seeing new families in the church almost every week. Anything that you would want a church to be, and have happen was happening. We were really in a great place, and this hit. And, you know, so it's immediately you do what you're supposed to do. You lead and you direct people's focus and attention where it needs to be, and you encourage them and you navigate their fear and try to institute faith and all of those. You do all of those things. But then you get to that point of, oh, okay, we're Winfield Church, but now we're meeting in Hurricane.
Right.
Weird. But at the same time, there's that idea of, you know, God orchestrated all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And without a lot of thought, it just happened. And here we are.
Right.
And he has a reason for this. I'm not just talking COVID. He has a reason that right now we're transplanted
in
Hurricane. And he has a reason for that. Maybe it's that we reach people in Hurricane.
Right.
That will, you know, transplant to, you know, to Winfield when we come back.
Do you think?
Go ahead.
No. Do you think that? Do you think people are using an excuse of COVID to stay away?
Absolutely.
You know, you can see them in Walmart, or you see them at the ball game, but you won't see them on Sunday morning.
I think we have to be careful in how we say that. To answer your question, yes. I absolutely believe there are people with no underlying health conditions, no circumstances in their life whatsoever that says that they should be hibernating at home or whatever, and they should be out building their immunity up, if nothing else. But yes, I think there are people who are still locking themselves up at home, except for what they consider have-tos. Who I think should be in church and should be doing the things that they do. On the other hand, I believe there are people who are following doctor's orders, like TJ Medora from our congregation. Medora's pregnant, right. And her doctor has said, you cannot go anywhere or be anywhere that everyone isn't wearing masks.
Right.
And everything else like that. And so she's following doctor's orders. I respect that. I have no problem with that. But, you know, so just to clarify, there are people who are in a physical place where, you know, they have to take precautions. I get that 1,000%, and I support that 1,000%. But I think there's also a lot of people who really are kind of in a place where they're questioning their own fortitude. And just making the choice to stay home when they probably don't have to.
Yeah, I agree with you. And so we just pray that God's will be done in people's lives. There is, just want to leave you with this today. If you're being blessed by this ministry and you want to support this ministry, the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition and what Pastor Jay and the Gassaway campuses are doing. There's three different ways that you can give. The Pulse, you can send your check to P.O. Box 141 in Gassaway 26624, thepulsewv.com, which is our website, and you can give through PayPal, or you can text the word Pulse, P-U-L-S-E, to 1-304-244-3187. And Pastor Jay, it is always, you don't know what a blessing it is to do ministry with you and to be a part of your life. And we've been friends for years and years, but here we are doing life together, and I mean that. I love our Wednesday. I love our Wednesday get together.
I don't love it when I get up. but once I get here and we get going, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm not a morning, just so everyone understands, I'm not a morning guy. If you want to do a midnight show, that would be a whole lot easier on me. But mornings are tough.
So. I told you we could do that.
Yeah, I know.
I told you that we could do that. Well, can you pray for us before
Absolutely.
We all go?
Absolutely. Father, it is a privilege to be in your presence always. It is a privilege to know you and in the pardon and forgiveness of sin. And God, how blessed we are to hear your voice. And how blessed we are that, Lord, you have molded us like clay for years to allow us to be in a place to where we hear you, where we hear you through the word and the promises that you give us. And know, dear God, that these weren't just, you know, these weren't just random things, but these are the building blocks for which we're to live. And God, we're thankful that as you've loved us, that God, over time, we've come to love you in the same manner. And loving you in the same manner, we see your love for man. And Lord, we choose every day to love them the way you love them. And God, as we pursue you, help us to pursue others. Lord, help us to reach out our hand and be gentle and be meek and allow the Spirit of God to flow through us into lives that are hurting and lives that need a touch from heaven today. And God, as we're in this place, God, let us minister that way. Lord, let us love from among the people, and Lord, let us be anointed in the pulpit. And God, allow you to just lead it all and guide it all and work in our lives. Lord, as so many still navigate this COVID thing and God, all of the other things in our region and life, Lord, we just pray that you move. Lord, move on people's hearts. Lord, we know that what you're doing in this country is predicted in Scripture, but God, I'm not worried about the country as much as I'm worried about the conditions of people's hearts and how we respond to this. And God, let us walk in faith and let us embrace your presence in faith, knowing, dear God, that, Lord, you would not leave us nor forsake us, but God, that you would stick with us to the very end. And God, we know that we're promised that, and we stand on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and all that he is to us. And God, we pray that we would love you the way he loves you, that we would be obedient and walk according to his example. And God, in so doing, that we would turn and love our fellow man. That, Lord, we'd have a cup of coffee, even if they put that stuff in it. That, God, we would have a cup of coffee with our friends and our neighbors and our loved ones in this life, and lead them to you. Lord, let us be open. Let our ears be turned to you. And God, let us hear in love and let us walk in love. As you would be pleased with us, we pray in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's where we are, church. That's exactly where we are in this world. Want to invite people to the Gasway campus tonight for church. It's called Wednesday Reconnect that we're doing on Wednesday night. So it's going to be the Pulse Experience. It'll be preaching, praise and worship, praying for sick, whatever your needs are. If you're have somebody that you need to bring to church tonight that may attend somewhere on Sunday morning but doesn't have anywhere to go on Wednesday, we would love to have them a part of what God is doing. So,
and John, that's one thing if I could add real quick.
Absolutely.
I know you're trying to wind it up.
No, you good.
I found out a couple weeks ago that friends of mine, and how I didn't know sooner, I don't know, but friends of mine who go to a church that I dearly love, they haven't been having services since the middle of March when all of this started.
Oh, wow.
And they're not even having online services or anything. Wow. And so I put it out on Facebook once, but I just want to say it publicly and kind of look people in the metaphoric eye, if you will, and say, if you're in that condition, I have no interest in stealing anyone from another church, but you need church. You need the fellowship of God's people, and you need the touch of his Spirit in worship and in word. And so I invite you to come and join us on Sunday mornings. And in inviting you to come and join us, I'm telling you, tithe to your home church.
Right.
Tithe to your home church. They still have bills to pay.
Sure.
They still have things to do. So tithe to that church and be faithful to that church and its doing. But rather than sit at home, I encourage you to at least tune into us live online,
mm-hmm.
Or join us, and then when your doors open back, there will be no strings attached, no questions asked, and we will understand and love the fact that you return to that home church. We just want to love you and encourage you in the Lord.
And his heart is absolutely right, and we feel the same way in Gasaway. And we just pray that you'll share this Bible study this morning, the Pulse WV Morning Edition, that's on Facebook as well as YouTube, and then on Spotify, Apple Play, and also iTunes. We're on there as well, so on your podcast, on your phone. So it's an awesome opportunity to be with you every morning, Monday. Well, not every morning, just Monday through Friday.
You're on every morning. I'm just here Wednesdays.
Yeah, you could be here every morning.
No, it's too early.
It's too early.
It's too early. You get Wednesdays.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take Wednesdays. Well, let's go out with a song that is an awesome song called Rattled.
Yes.
Is that the way you are when you wake up in the morning?
Beyond. Not this kind of rattled. I'm a very different kind of rattled.
Different kind?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Have a great day, everybody.
Saturday was silent, surely it was through. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. This is the praise make a dead man walk again.